The election of Donald Trump, Brexit, just two huge international news stories that dominated the headlines in Australia last year. But what do people overseas hear about us? Stories of crocs, sharks, kangaroos, and occasionally maybe offshore detention centres. The New York Times has announced who will head their new Australian bureau. Soon we'll find out how the grey lady explains our very wide brown land. What will they take an interest in? I actually am genuinely very fascinated. Damien Cave is the Australian bureau chief. Hopefully he can tell us. Hi, Damien.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who's your audience? I mean, are you writing for Australians or are you telling Australian stories to Americans?
I mean, I think primarily we're looking for both Australians who are interested in the world and people around the world who are interested in Australia. I mean, I think we no longer think just purely in terms of region. We kind of think sometimes about a certain kind of reader. You know, we're trying to go after readers who are eager to be challenged, who are curious about the world, who, you know, want to understand their place in it. And that's something that I think we can provide to Australians, but also to people around the world. So, you know, we're really just excited to kind of dig in here and figure it out and explore the stories that people here want to know more about.
Your logo today is a reporter in a kangaroo pouch. Should we expect more kind of quirky Australian news
No.
or Australian stereotypes like our kind of, you know, national animals?
I was wondering how long it would take for that to come up.
I was like, a kangaroo?
But listen, it's on the national crest. It's something that, you know, is a part of Australia for a long time. You know, we thought about it. We showed it to a bunch of Australians who thought it was playful and thought it was fine. And that was kind of what we were going for. You know, we're not coming in here trying to say that we're going to be focusing on stereotypes. We're not coming in here saying we know everything and we're going to tell you how it is. We're really coming in here because we want to participate and work with Australians to tell the great stories that are here. So, you know, while that some people may see stereotypes, what we see is an effort at collaboration and creativity and a little fun. I mean, we know Australians have a sense of humor and that will be part of our coverage too, but really we're here to tell in-depth, important stories. And so, you know, don't get any misimpression. What you'll see is deep stuff.
So you're not going to be sort of solely focused on our croc stories?
You know, I was the Miami bureau chief and I wrote a lot of animal stories. I've promised myself that I will write no animal stories at the beginning of my phase here for that very reason.
It's good to hear. It's very, very brave of you to say that. There were reports today that Fairfax will stop publishing a weekday print edition of their paper. Why expand into Australia now? I mean, do you see this as an opportunity as, of course, we're seeing our own newspapers decline?
You know, I mean, I think that's, you know, it's sad to see journalism anywhere in decline. And I think, you know, we're here because we feel like there's an opportunity to do really strong journalism. You know, we have an audience here that's pretty sizable, and we looked around the world and tried to figure out where the places that we thought, you know, had the most opportunity for the kinds of journalism we produce. Australia was near the top of the list. And so our hope is to kind of come in here and not necessarily to compete on local coverage with everyone, but to really kind of do the kinds of things that the New York Times does well. And that includes not just in Australia, but also to connect the dots to other parts of the world. I mean, we're a global news organization. You know, I've worked in a bunch of different countries. I have colleagues all over the world. And we really kind of hope to connect Australia and Australian audiences to the globe in a deeper way, which is something that The Times, we think, is uniquely positioned to do.
Can the news survive as an online-only proposition? I mean, would it matter if there wasn't a print copy of the New York Times?
I don't know. I mean, globally, you know, listen, I spent most of my career as a foreign correspondent without a print edition, and I did along just fine. In this case, we're really kind of coming in as a digital startup, so to speak. You know, we don't have any intention for a print product at first. Our goal here is really to tell stories in innovative ways and in different ways to connect with people where they are, which usually includes their phone. And so to me, it's about journalism. It's never been about format. And, you know, great stories have resonance. Great stories will connect with audiences. And for us, that's what matters. I mean, we're a subscriber business, much more than an advertising business at this point, or at least that's the direction we're heading. And so, you know, we're here to connect with audiences in Australia in whatever way we can.
Okay, so you talk about those stories, those important stories. What do you see as the major stories in Australia at the moment? What's resonating internationally?
You know, I mean, I think that, you know, with having not been here for very long, I think that, you know, we're going to do some listening to hear what people, I'm curious what your listeners or anyone else would like to tell us to focus on. But I think there are certain issues that kind of speak to Australia, but also to the world. Issues around immigration and multiculturalism, issues around climate change and nature. You know, I think there's a whole bunch of things around populism and the way people deal with global trade. All of these are issues that we have some expertise on and that we have the ability to tell from a bunch of different locations, including Australia. And so these are just a few of the things that we'll dig into. You know, we also really want to dig into the arts and culture here. You know, I mean, I think it's something that's important. And we also just kind of want to, you know, be able to tell the world about the things that Australians love as well here.
So you mentioned immigration. Will you be watching some of our politicians? Obviously, Pauline Hanson is somebody our own domestic media is watching pretty closely. Has she taken your interest yet?
I mean, of course. I mean, we're looking at, you know, some of these forces that are appearing in Australia, and to some degree, Australia is maybe further along or at a different place in the development of these themes. I think, though, we're probably less interested in individual political characters than about the sort of underlying forces that are leading to the rise of some of these characters. You know, I came from the national desk of the New York Times, where I did a lot of exploration around race and ethnicity and tried to do a lot of deep coverage about some of the things that are underlying, you know, what Trump became and what Trump became as president. So, I mean, that's the kind of approach that we tend to have. You know, I come from a working class family that's divided politically, and I anticipate being able to tell stories from a bunch of different perspectives here, just like we did in the US.
Just very quickly, what lessons do you take from last year for the media? I mean, the New York Times, along with a lot of major news organizations, got a lot of predictions wrong. Obviously, Donald Trump's one of the most obvious ones. Are there lessons to be learned?
I mean, there's always lessons to be learned. I mean, I think media gets in trouble when we start to think we have all the answers and we don't listen to our instincts and listen to the things that can, you know, set us off in a direction of speculation as opposed to reporting on the facts that we see and hear. You know, so I think we'll sort of figure this out as we go. But, you know, this is, I still believe that there's really great journalism to be had and that, you know, even as there are mistakes that are made, journalism has always been imperfect and all you can do is own up to your mistakes and try to do better next time. And I think that's to some degree what the Times is doing and what a lot of media is doing. The difference in this case is that we're in a really difficult financial moment where, you know, mistakes and are also playing into disruptions in media that make it very hard to run a business. But again, I truly believe there's stories will work. Stories have always worked since Homer.
Stories are the thing, aren't they? Well, Damien, good luck. That's Damien Cave. He's the Australian Bureau Chief for the New York Times, and they've made an announcement. We'll be hearing about it for a little while, but that they're on their way down under.